Ukraine has struck deep into Russia with using U.S. missiles, surface-to-surface missiles, with U.S. permission. And Putin has revised their nuclear weapon doctrine to allow them to use nuclear weapons even if there's not nuclear weapons used on them. The ICC has issued arrest warrants for Netanyahu and Gallant and others in the Middle East war. The U.S. has threatened to sanction the ICC, considering their activity to be over the top. Hamas leaders have finally been kicked out of Qatar. Those stories and more, and Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, November 22nd of the year 2024, the anniversary of the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President of the United States. Here's the news for this week. The Biden administration gave permission to Ukraine to use some of their surface-to-surface missiles, long-range missiles they'd given them. Previously, they wouldn't permit them to use on Russian territory, but the Biden administration this last week finally gave permission, and they began to use them. Now, as a result, they were able to strike targets in Russia that formerly they had not been able to get there. We believe the reason why the Biden administration gave this permission is because the Russians have brought North Korean troops into Russia to fight in the Ukraine war. And besides the fact that President-elect Trump is going to be coming into the administration, and Biden is trying to do all he can to carry out his policies with regard to support of Ukraine. Now, Putin had advised them not to do that. And as a result of those attacks in Russian territory, Putin has decided to revise his nuclear weapon doctrine. He had already formally moved some of his mobile nuclear forces closer to the border to NATO, but he's now announced very publicly that he is willing to use some of those tactical nuclear weapons, even if nuclear weapons are not used against Russia. In other words, if he feels that Russia is being threatened too much by conventional weapons, he's saying he reserves the right to use those nuclear weapons in the defense of Russia. And that essentially is not just limited to the reciprocation of nuclear use. That means he has first strike capability, and that says that he's willing to do that. Now, that is a whole new policy on the part of the Russians and NATO with regard to dealing with nuclear weapons and forces. Putin also this week launched an IRBM, that's an intermediate range ballistic missile, into Ukraine. That's a ballistic missile that normally carries a nuclear payload. And according to press reports, Russia was smart enough to send advance notice to the U.S. that they were going to launch those missiles, because quite honestly, had they not, the U.S. would have interpreted that as a first strike nuclear attack. And who knows what the U.S. would have done in response, or other NATO nations would have done in response, believing that Putin was launching a nuclear weapon. Thank goodness he notified the U.S., no, it's only a conventional warhead. Well, that missile went over into Ukraine and did devastation and damage to Ukraine, and it opens up a whole other class of weaponry on the part of the Russians against Ukraine. Again, each of these steps are taking us one step closer to nuclear war and potential global war here in the world. They also threatened Poland. And why did they do that? Well, the U.S. has decided to deploy an anti-missile base in Poland up against the border. Anytime you put weapons or anti-missile equipment closer to the border, you're changing the equation that goes into the calculation of a nuclear exchange. And by putting that anti-missile base in Poland, that has the ability to take out Russian-deployed weapons much quicker and give the U.S. and NATO an advantage should there be a war with Russia. Russia doesn't want the equation changed. They want to keep things the same. But Biden administration keeps pushing the envelope with the Russians. And the question that you have to ask is how far can they push Russia? Because these are U.S. provocative actions, and Russia is calling them just exactly that. These are very provocative toward pushing us toward the steps closer to a nuclear exchange. Changing the subject slightly, the International Criminal Court, which has been all over Israel in complaints and threatening of Israel with charges of war crimes. Well, they finally did it. They issued warrants for the arrest of Israeli leaders, namely Netanyahu and Gallant, who used to be the defense minister. Now, they were kind of balanced about it. They issued some arrest warrants for certain Hamas leaders. However, the Hamas leaders they issued the warrants for, they're already dead. And so what was the benefit of issuing an arrest warrant for a Hamas leader that's already dead? Obviously, the ICC is biased against Israel. And Israel has said, since they're not part of the ICC, they're going to ignore all of it. And because there's other nations in the world that support the ICC, Israel is canceling many trips by all of their government officials and others into those other countries, disrupting other meetings that are taking place because of the action of the ICC. The U.S. views the ICC activity as completely interrupting international relations, and they are not in support of that action. In fact, they're standing against the ICC, and the U.S. Congress is speaking against it, the Senate in particular. And with the new American administration coming in, they're probably going to put sanctions on the ICC leaders themselves and basically tell the ICC you don't have the authority or jurisdiction to do what you're doing. It's simply anti-Jewish, anti-Israel hatred on the part of the International Criminal Court. These final months of the Biden administration, it's interesting to watch exactly what they're doing. They have still refused to transfer the heavy bombs to Israel, those 2,000-pounders that got held up earlier. They've allowed other munitions to go across, but they've still continued to block those. And those are the bombs that Israel uses to take out bunkers and those kinds of underground facilities. They're putting sanctions on Jewish organizations and Jewish leaders, particularly the organization that helps organize the settlers in what is called the West Bank. It's actually Judea and Samaria of Israel. And they just put sanctions on the overarching organization that helps those settlers with their needs. That will all change when the new administration comes in. The new ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, is very much in support of the West Bank area, the Judea and Samaritan area, and those settlers that are there. He sees that ground as belonging to Israel, not belonging to the Palestinians. So you're going to see some big changes in the Trump administration with regard to those issues in the land of Israel. I can tell you right now, the Israelis cannot wait for Mike Huckabee to become the ambassador for it. They are definitely looking forward to seeing him come into that role. The Biden administration has said that they want to have a smooth transition with the incoming administration. However, at the moment, we have a couple of wrinkles in that smooth transition. They're refusing to allow the incoming administration, the Trump security service people, to participate in classified material, particularly including the hostage negotiations still going on in the Middle East. Their stated reason why they're blocking them is that they're requiring a sign-off on a certain agreements, and part of it is they want to reveal who are their donors for the transition activities taking place for the Trump administration. Why the Biden administration wants to see that is probably to claim conflict of interest or other issues. That doesn't sound like smooth transition. That sounds like they're looking for things to complain about. In the meantime, Biden is trying to do everything he can as quickly as he can to fill all of the vacant judicial appointments and get the Senate to hurry up and confirm them. whereas the Trump administration is seeking to get their appointments for the cabinet into key positions in using potentially recess appointments. So there's a little horse trading going on between the outgoing administration and the incoming administration, all centered around the Senate as to getting things done, the last minute things done, as Biden leaves office and as Trump comes into office. Israel is continuing to hit Hezbollah areas in Beirut. In fact, in this last week, dozens of casualties were taken by the Hezbollah. They hit some facilities in the city of Beirut that were Hezbollah areas, including a weapons depot, some headquarters areas, and so forth for it. Now, the U.S. has sent in a ceasefire proposal, which has been received by Hezbollah. They said they only have a few comments for it. Everybody is optimistic that we could have a ceasefire with the Hezbollah-Lebanon war for Israel. It's probably going to still take a couple of weeks for this thing to come forward, but it's positive at this point, given the initial responses. One thing has become very clear in the Hezbollah war with Israel. UNIFIL, which is the UN military force that's supposed to be separating Israel from Hezbollah, apparently has been extremely ineffective. They were supposed to keep Hezbollah away from the border above the Litani River. That was the UN resolution. UNIFIL has done nothing of the kind. They've allowed Hezbollah to come into those areas, build bunkers, build all kinds of things, and put Hezbollah right across the border from Israel. So there, one of the discussions going on about this ceasefire with Hezbollah is a recognition that the UNIFIL forces is completely inept, not able to accomplish its mission whatsoever. And in fact, several of the nations that were supplying forces to UNIFIL, other neutral nations, they are withdrawing their support from it. So when this ceasefire comes into effect, we're going to have to find out what the UN will do to step up to what the next resolution will be able to end the hostilities in Lebanon with Israel. Israel, of course, is seeking to come up with a settlement that will allow the civilians that left their homes in the northern part of Israel to again return to their homes where they're not being hit by rockets and not the possibility of Hezbollah coming across the border, taking them hostage or doing an October 7 type of attack against the civilians that are in the northern part of Israel. Hostage negotiations down in Gaza are at a standstill. Essentially, no progress is taking place. The few communications that have been shared is that Hamas is demanding that Israel withdraw from many of the areas in Gaza. Particularly, Gaza and Hamas want to have access outside of Gaza so they can potentially resupply or escape or whatever the case may be. Israel wants to maintain security of Gaza, controlling who comes in and who goes out of Gaza. They want to make sure they can get the hostages back and not have any hostages removed from Gaza by Hamas forces. Obviously, the real solution here is to have Hamas eliminated. That's essential for there to ever be a peace or a future in Gaza. President Trump has also agreed with Benjamin Netanyahu on that point. Now, Israel, to try to expedite the release of the hostages, is now offering money, quite a bit of money, in fact, to any Palestinians that would be willing to return or release any of the hostages. However, as long as Hamas operatives are in Gaza and see any Palestinians doing that, those Palestinian lives are at great risk because already to date, we've seen how Hamas treats their fellow Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, and many Palestinians have paid with their lives in disagreeing with Hamas on any matter whatsoever. Israel has revealed, and by the intelligence they've captured while in Gaza, that there was a 2017 agreement between Hamas leaders and UNRWA. If you remember the UN World Relief Association that used to be based in Gaza, building schools and other kinds of things, well, it turns out that when they first revealed that some of those employees were also terrorists that participated in October 7th, and it was questioning what was Anwar really doing there. Well, now they have found the original agreement that said that Anwar was set up in Gaza to work completely with Hamas, and in their words, they were to be one. They were to work and support each other completely. That's the reason why Israel has said no more Anwar in Gaza or in Israel, because essentially all we're talking about is the UN wing of the Hamas organization. Hamas leaders have finally been kicked out of Qatar. Qatar is so frustrated with Hamas leaders. They've done everything they could to help with the negotiations, put several deals together, but Hamas stubbornly refused all of the agreements. And so Qatar has finally reached their limit and said, we don't want anything more to do with it, and we're cutting you off. And so the Hamas leaders have been told to leave their luxury resorts there in Qatar and to get out of the country. Now, Israel's trying to keep Turkey from giving the Hamas leaders refuge and a base of operation. And I don't know that they will be successful doing that, because Erdogan of Turkey has always been a big supporter of Hamas, at least verbally, and against Israel. And so it may be that Hamas headquarters and leaders will make their way over to Turkey and continue to foment problems for Israel from that location. We'll just have to see how that pans out. But Israel's trying to do everything it can to basically shut Hamas down completely. I think the Hamas leaders need to find someplace safe to go, because Israel is on record that they're going to go and kill all of them. And if they put themselves in a neutral country, Israel probably will send a team that will go take them out. Finally, in the Middle East, whether it be up in Hezbollah or down in Gaza or Yemen or out of those areas, missiles and rockets are still flying. The war is still continuing. There's still casualties being taken, not only of IDF troops, but the enemy is also dying. And there are civilians being harmed by all these rockets and missiles and drones still flying into Israel. People are still having to hide in bomb shelters. We have rockets making their way into the center of Israel as well as to the edges and so forth. Several of them have been shot down. It's almost a daily occurrence to hear about how rockets, missiles, and drones are being shot down, and the IDF is doing, the Air Force is going over and making strikes on those targets and taking more of the enemy out. It just continues to go on a daily basis. The war continues. Thank you for joining in this broadcast. We encourage you to subscribe to our Lion and Lamb TV program. That's our channel. Thanksgiving week is coming up, and so the next issue of Messianic World Update will be this next Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and it will be in the same time frame. After Thanksgiving, we'll go back to the Friday broadcast as we normally do. So next Wednesday, we will have a Messianic World Update broadcast for you before Thanksgiving. Continue to please pray for Israel, for the war, the casualties, the people that are being harmed, the release of the remaining hostages, and for our own nation's peaceful transfer of power as we move forward into 2025. Thank you again for viewing this program, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you.